What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 136 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin. Alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe.
I just burped. It smelled really bad.
Why do you... You know, I like that you want to go off the cuff and just kind of propel the conversation into some improvised initial moment of this podcast that we do every time, but... I mean, was that really necessary? We also have to present some kind of professionalism to the people listening so that they know that they're hearing some legitimate disc golf media people that can analyze media people. It's a technical term. Can analyze the sport for them and
so
help them.
So professional.
Help them learn about this wonderful game of disc golf. And here you're talking about bodily functions. It's almost as though you're setting them up to let them know that they're going to hear a show that's going to talk about farts and beer and, you know, other nonsense and not really focus on the core issues that face our sport right now.
Wait a minute, we're recording? Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is actually Joe's annual review.
Oh, actually, I'm the one who hits the record button. Listen, I held back. I also just farted, and I did not put the mic to it. That is a pre-show thing.
Okay. Sounds like you're having some gas issues.
I just calls them like I sees them. Or smells them.
I guess. I'm just saying, you know, maybe it's 2019, where everyone's trying to better themselves, and maybe we could, you know, take it up a notch.
2019,
or two.
The year of no gas.
Maybe we just, I think the people would be ready for it. There really isn't a super dry, serious disc golf podcast out there.
Fart-free until 2023.
Just, you know, reports on exactly what's going on and then clicks off, you know?
That's our podcast. What's going on in disc golf right now, Robin?
Well, this week...
I heard Grady Shoe went to lat 64.
Accurate. Very accurate.
Oh, well, thanks for listening.
Nice. Well done.
It's been a blast. Y'all have a great weekend.
This year in disc golf, we're going to play the same tournaments over again, and different people are going to win.
Yep. This year, we're going to do Worlds at a place that people aren't as stoked about.
Well, yeah, you know, it's going to be fine, though. It's gonna be fine.
I feel like that's something like you tell yourself, like you're like, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine, everyone's gonna love you, it's gonna be fine, don't worry about it.
Get out of the shower every morning.
It's gonna be great.
Just people love you.
Affirmations in the mirror.
And dang gummit, people love you.
Yeah. Yeah. So
listen, once again, new year, new optimism. It's gonna be great.
New year, new us. Beer is no longer part of our podcast.
We are going to review whiskey now instead.
Full glasses of whiskey.
It's going to be our world famous whisk review.
Ooh, I see what you did. It took me a second.
Our whiskey and disc.
Listen, I think that would pump some people up. We could probably like squeeze those into some pre-shows. I don't think that's...
Well, and then of course we'd make some funny shirts that'd be like, I got the whiskey disc.
You're on a roll right now. Also, like, I love whiskey, like I truly do, as do you.
I'm not a big fan of the whiskey disc, but
no, I don't know. I've never experienced it. But I don't know that we have the palates or the verbiage to actually be.
It would have to be like a 7-minute show, otherwise,
right? It'd be like, I don't know. It was good. Like, it was good whiskey. Like, it was smooth. It was smooth. Like, a little spicy. Mostly, it was whiskey.
Yeah. That sounds about right.
I mean, we got this triple whiskey. Oh, no, that's not a thing? Oh, damn. I don't know then.
Does this whiskey taste hoppy? No, Robin, that's beer.
No, that's
not a thing. They don't use hops. Well, I mean, I get Robin. Stop. It's I think we could do it though. Maybe we make it like a special episode.
Plus, that's like super expensive. True. We just buy a 750 like every week.
Just go down to the bar and be like, "Can I have a shot to go, please?"
Oh, God, can you put it like one of those little like to go salsa cups that have the plastic lid? Can I just take that home? It's fine. Don't worry about it. Like I brought my own. Can you just pour some in this? It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm not going to tell nobody. It's not an open container. It's fine.
Well, we're reviewing Ancient Age this week because it came in a bottle that we could afford. And
it's unbreakable.
So, I'm sorry. This is now the fifth week in a row that we've reviewed Ancient Age. I realize that the show is going downhill.
I found two quarters in my glove box. We're drinking shiny. Old Granddad this week.
Very nice. That would be an awful deterioration of the podcast, just to have just slowly shift to just us.
Handing a plastic flask
like
back and forth,
complaining about our wives and drinking whiskey and just be like no thanks.
Listen, we didn't throw the damn disc. We'll talk about this whiskey.
My wife packing up her stuff in the background.
Why don't you make a little more noise? Thanks a lot.
All right, so disc golf.
Oh, this isn't the pre-show.
No, it's really not. It's really not. But we do have a great show for you tonight. We are going to do, I got a little correction from last week because I said some things that weren't true. It's not a big deal, but it's, figure.
Oh, was that when you said that the harp was?
No, that was like several weeks ago, and I stand by that. But,
get him! I like it.
We have a little bit of information on Ricky's deal with Innova, so we'll hit that because it's kind of a big thing. Paul's discs. When you listen to this, Paul's discs will be his new Discraft disc will be on sites ready for you to buy. They've already been up for pre-order, but they're gonna start shipping and heading out, and the whole world's freaking out. So, I'm so ready. We also got a great question from a listener in Australia that we're going to hit, which I think will be very interesting. I'm not even completely sure how I'm going to answer it yet. I have kind of an idea, but it's going to be tough, and we'll have to hash out the details of it. The ground rules.
I've got one done.
Yeah, I think we'll get there. But Gareth James of Australia sent us in a question through Instagram. And if you want to find us on Instagram, it's just the Disc Golf Podcast. So find us there. And then we have our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, take a beer, review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the Westside Northman, which is a 10-speed distance driver. And we're pairing it with Warhammer Imperial IPA by Four Hands Brewing Company, which is a 9% alcohol Imperial IPA. And it's like, we've been slacking lately, just basically like finding a good beer and finding a good disc and reviewing
them. No, I never.
And we used to like spend a whole bunch of time and pair discs perfectly with beers. And then it got harder as we, got to like 130 something odd episodes.
Well, plus y'all started sending us like awesome beers too that we want to drink. And we're like, well, we got this disc already and I really want to drink this beer. So,
but this time we actually did a good job of pairing the disc with the name of the beer. The Northman's like a metalsmith, a blacksmith, and he's got a big old hammer in his hand, and he's pounding out some what appears to be a metal disc on an anvil.
Oh, he's pounding it out.
And then we got Warhammer. It's a big old hammer.
I mean,
we pured this one. This is perfect.
Nailed it.
So quickly, my correction. Last week I said that there were Axiom Electron proxies. There are no Electron proxies. There should be. But there are not. So, which is like, come
on. You look like a goose.
I know. But
he was saying all these things, and I went, all right.
This is more a selfish, topic bring up, because it's not so much that I actually wanted to make the correction. It's more that what the fuck, Axiom? I want an Electron proxy. Like, why can't we have that? So that was basically it.
Because you want it.
I know. But like,
Robin wants us. No.
I don't know if you guys remember, but the Electron Envies, they kind of sold pretty good. People like them.
I mean, how many do you bag?
I don't bag any, but I've got like 20.
Yeah, you have so many of them. I swear if the Luna didn't come out, Ron was about to be an envy putter.
I'm so ready for the Luna. I'm not even, like, I was joking last week.
Let's just go to that, we can go back to Ricky.
I'm not joking anymore about the Luna.
I know you're not joking. You weren't joking. You might have, like, told yourself, ha, 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 I'm kidding. No, I'm 100%. There was no part of me that thought that was, like, you just giggling. Like, I knew you were in already. Like, there was no,
Paul.
Like, no, it was, oh, Robin, you're so silly.
We can get there.
It's not like you to just, like, find a disc and say, I will buy all of them. This is my putter. You've never done that before.
Man, I'm such a loser. God. So, anyways, Paul McBeth, his Discraft disc. So we have the Zone, the Luna, his prototype putter, which is we now know as the Luna, and it's supposed to be a jawbreaker rubber blend, supposedly. And we got some more kind of up close videos because now retailers have them. So retailers had been posting profile shots, and then Paul McBeth posted some more videos of him holding a bunch of them and showing us the side of it, and it's now, we know, a beadless. It looks pretty much like a McPro clone. Like
I'm so surprised. Yeah. I never could have seen that being a possibility.
Just what the world needs, another AVR clone. So that's pretty much exactly what it is. But then there's also going to be Z-Zones, ESP Buzzes, which look freaking awesome. They've like this swirly ESP plastic. I've seen a ton of them posted on Instagram and other places, and they all look pretty gorgeous.
Oh, and the Forces.
Yeah, and then there's Z. Well, those Forces aren't available yet.
I know.
The Z Forces look pretty sweet too, but the ESP Forces that we've seen pictures of that haven't been released yet.
Goodness gracious.
Those, it appears that Discraft has figured out the swirl game.
Yeah. Oh my God. Well, and they had the stamp game. We knew, and when we run our runs, they have the cleanest, like the best foil.
Yeah. And Discmania, maybe take a quick peek at the Discraft swirls and like that's what they should look like.
Shots fired.
Please. Innova, you too.
Did you watch his mid range?
I did. I did.
My favorite part of that was, this is a jawbreaker wasp. It was like this, like it's a super limited run, but they're going to make more. Like basically yeah. he was like, I like it. It's going back into production.
Yeah.
Like for sure. I'm going to get all the jawbreaker wasps that I want in the world.
I didn't go back to the first video to check and see if he was wearing the same clothes, but it sure as heck looked like this was all filmed on the same day.
Oh, I'm sure.
And they're just, you know, just keeping us at the teat.
Of course they are. You just knew that right off the bat. Of course.
I know, but it hurts, okay?
I knew that without a doubt. That's what's
going on. He also shanked a comet, which hurt my feelings a little bit.
Especially when he was like, I'm going to start, like, he doesn't understand the comet yet.
No, he does not. He said it, like, multiple times. I'm going to give it a chance because MJ loves it, and I've seen him throw it. And then he just, like, shanks it into.
Well, the first throw, he didn't throw it hard enough.
No.
And it like faded, and I was like, no, bro. Like, you're not.
And then the second throw, there must have been something going on because he just burned it into the ground.
Right. And the second throw, I think he was like, oh, well, it's kind of stable when I threw it before, so I can give it like more juice. Wait, that is the comment. It is touchy as hell.
If anybody has Paul McBeth's ear, just be like, hey, Paul, throw it like you did your Nova. It's going to work.
Throw it like you're trying to crank a Nova. On hole 5 at De La.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yep, do that.
Do that, and it will go further.
But there's also, so there's Titanium Undertakers as well that have been released, and so the world, your disc golf feeds, your social media feeds are about to get flooded with D-picks of Paul McBeth Ds.
And then there was the Ricky Raptor deal.
Which nobody even remembers happened anymore.
You know what's selling crazy though on like DVGA is the Cloudbreaker.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've seen a bunch of those, the DD3 or whatever.
You know, also selling like DC on DVGA. The Cub Fief.
The Cub Fief. Oh man, worst disc name ever.
Whatever. I've got one literally in my hand right now. And listen, Corvette feels real nice.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. Oh, yes, it does.
You were going to hijack this conversation that was about the Luna, the most important release.
It turned
this
into
year.
New discs. Get out of here, dude. Get out of here.
Listen,
you're slowly moving up to having as many wide rim discs as I do in the bag.
Joe, Paul has a new putter that's going to revolutionize the game. It's definitely not an exact clone of the McPro AVR in Discraft plastic. It's not.
I'm definitely going to putt 90% better with the Luna. It's science.
Listen, I love the moon. I love moonlight. It's great. It's perfect. Plus, when I putt, it does seem as though I'm putting in the dark because the discs don't.
Why is there not already a glow Luna?
There should be a glow Luna. Oh, I'm so ready for a glow Luna.
I want them all. I'll buy them all. How much? I want that first run. Just give them all.
Just like a glow FLX Luna. That would be. Oh, man. I'm just.
Mm-mm.
Okay. You're, all right.
You're calling me like gross. You're gross, bro.
Is
like,
it a little warm
weird.
In here? Maybe we should turn the heater off.
No, dude, it's fucking cold in here.
I think it's getting a little moist in here. I think it's maybe.
No, that's just your pants. Are your pants really tight too? Like something like clothes shrink ray? I don't know. All right, we can move on.
But yeah, get ready to if you're not looking forward to seeing a whole bunch of Paul McBeth signature Discraft discs, maybe just take a break from social media for a few weeks and when you come back, it'll still be happening. So
it will never stop.
It's probably not going to stop. They're pulling the puppet strings right now. They are.
How much do you think? I'm like really interested. Do they have a new social media person? Did that person just pull it together, or is Paul like, listen?
Paul's always
this is what you need to do.
Paul's been pretty good about social media the whole time. He very well may have someone, and I would guess in these conversations that you know with Discraft and this whole thing that they realized that it was time to step it up. But they are pretty masterfully playing the game right now, dropping things you know bit by bit. You know, over the last like 6 weeks, really almost two months, when the hints started to drop here and there, and then the pictures of the discs themselves, and then the pre-orders, and then the orders themselves, and just kind of trickling out the little bits for us to gobble up. It's pretty.
Oh, and you gobble.
Oh, I'm gobbling.
I mean, okay, so I'm gonna start moving us to the next piece. A lot of new deals have happened. There was this. As we all know, Great Issue went to Latitude 64.
That's accurate.
Aside from that Great Issue signing, the biggest question left in disc golf, where's Hannah McBeth going? I haven't heard anything.
It would appear that she's staying with Discmania, I guess.
I hope. She was really crushing those.
That was definitely not the next bullet point on the
those
on the podcast breakdown here, Joe.
I
got the notes MD2s? Up on the screen. You can see them.
Well, we're talking about deals. I thought that fit in really well.
Uh huh.
We haven't heard anything. You know, just
I get it.
Just checking in.
It's only like the fifth time you've made that joke on this podcast.
Grady Shooter, the Latitude 64 is not a joke. It's real.
All right, so we had a little bit of moving on to Innova and deal news as Joe alluded to there, and pretty amazingly, this being somewhat big news, but also kind of dwarfed by everyone's just absolute lust for Paul McBeth and Discraft at the moment. But Ricky Wysocki's deal with Innova released that it's a 5-year deal, which that's. That's a lot of time. I mean, he's signed through 2023 for
totally.
And that's so we have still no details on how much he was signed for and, you know, really anything about his contract. But the fact that
they did release that he can have all the sake bombs he wants.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Which is two over those
no, over, over under on. Yeah. I was going to set the over under at 1.5, but
it's oh, it's two. I called Rick up.
I don't know. The over under at 0.5 might the under might still win that.
No way.
There's no way he takes a sock. I will bet that you know, Rick does not take a sake bomb in the next 5 years.
I mean, how are we going to prove this? He for sure will, because there's going to be a meeting where he is with, like, Innova still trying to resurrect the sake bomb, because as far as I can tell, they're like, no, no, no. Like, that's gone.
Yeah.
That's not a thing we do anymore.
No, it's not. But
And he's just going to set up a table. They're all going to go to, like, sushi. He's going to set up a table with, like, 15 of them around the table. Be like, huh?
No.
Nope. And they're like, no. And he's going to be like, huh? And then he'll take his and no one else will. And he'll be like, okay. And then he'll do the rest of them and rip Rick like it was.
It's not going to happen. Yet. There's no way. It's not going to happen. If.
It's going to just be water into seltzer water.
You know, sometimes you got to take the old dog out back and just put it out of its misery, you know. And let's hope that Innova does that with the sake bomb. With the sake bomb logo. I do not want to see that sake bomb logo on. Yeah, speaking of which,
it reminds me a lot of the Infinite, that bomb.
It does. Thing. A lot of weird pro logos coming out also, speaking of which.
I don't want to talk about it.
Neither do I, because we're a podcast and we can't, like, describe a shitty logo.
And he's a friend of the show.
but it is interesting. That's a lot of time. And
I like Paul's new logo.
Yeah.
I like Paul's new logo.
Me too. I'm ready for my quarter zip pullover with the Paul McBeth logo on it. And
oh, of course you are.
And the hat.
Of course. You're just going to shit like
my
the
new
thing
shoes
too,
and the Lunas.
With Robin's like DG wardrobe. Oh, I guess both of us. I just don't get wardrobe, but Robin does. He'll just show up at around like with new gear on, and for sure he'll just show up like fully McBeth out.
Yeah. I'm not
oh,
even
it's happening.
Gonna...
Like, I know it's happening. Like, it's not a... Just is what it is.
Listen, I have learned to embrace who I am, and
I want to be Paul. So
that's
what I do.
Pretty much what happens.
This was actually Paul's shirt. Yeah, I can tell because your stomach is sticking out. But yo, you look yoked, bro. Your arm's starting to turn blue, dude. I don't think it stretches as much as you planned.
Did you bring your scissors with you?
No, I got a pocket knife. Just watch out.
I think there's some surgical scissors in the first aid kit. I think I'm going to pass out.
Worth it.
I mean, your drives look better when you rip your shirt, when you throw, right?
No.
No?
No.
Okay.
Not that I've seen it, but I'm going to go with no. I'm going to go with no. Like, not a good idea. Don't do that.
I mean, be pretty sweet.
No, anyways, Rick, 5-year deal, like, that's big. That's, I mean, as we all know, Rick is 38 years old, so that'll bring him to 40, 43.
Hey, 43, very good.
Are I you got good? There. I knew I was going there. I just had to, like, I was about to say, I was like, right, yeah, okay. What is Rick, like, 25, 26?
Something like that.
Damn, they're all so young.
I know. I know.
That's good.
We're going to keep seeing more of that, but I wish we had a little bit more information. Back to my comment last week's show about Innova being the Patriots. Like, we're just lucky to get this small amount of information about Ricky's deal. I hope there's more. I hope that soon we start to hear about more discs. Like, you look at, compare the two. Paul's got, you know, 5 discs coming out or whatever, and Rick just has this kind of, I guess, okay, kind of funky stamp destroyer, and that's it. Like, we can't, what are you putting with, Rick? Like, we saw like a thing that appears to be like KC Pro AVRs or whatever. And
yeah, I think more will come out. I think Paul got the contract. Paul started the movement because of his charisma. And still, I mean, I've watched the two Jomez. He's still a little robotic. Like, he's not all the way there.
No, he's not.
But I love Rick. He is head and shoulders above Rick.
Yeah, yeah.
Like just the Rick reveal video, I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Paul is a true brand himself.
Exactly.
And Rick is, you know, aspects of what he does, he's done a good job of it, but he's still working on that part of it. And I was not a KC Pro. It was Galactic AVRs that looked like either the Big Bead AVR or the KC AVR that I saw pictures of. But, like, let's get some other Ricky signature discs and start working on that. It just seems like there's that the hype with Paul is so much bigger at this moment than Rick, which I guess should be expected. But
I feel like even with Rick's two world championships, there really was, like, through all that time, maybe 2 months of Rick really dominating the, like, mm-hmm. oh, let's see what's going on. Like, Paul was still, like, the pinnacle of, you know, it wasn't,
yeah,
Rick is the man, he's crushing. It was like, what's wrong with Paul?
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. But I mean, what if Innova just, like, you know, teased a new disc release for Ricky, like the upright bass. It's going to be their new 3-speed, or like the mandolin, or I'm trying to think of stringed instruments. I'm flailing here. You need help.
I don't know that there needs to be I don't know there needs to be new molds for him. But I think in that same thing with Paul, it's like finding, and maybe it's these pieces like we talked about, the Cayman and Rat and things like that, like mm-hmm. finding some pieces that need some love, that are really good discs that are just yeah. underutilized, and putting some stamps,
putting
that
it in the bag,
like,
out, or, you know, like he's thrown Innova before. You know that he already knows what he's going to throw at this point. Like, he must. So why aren't we seeing some of that stuff?
Right, and I almost feel like, I don't know. I saw there was, like, an in the bag from Rick that I found, like, a few years ago that some random dude put out, and it was super well done, and then it was taken down. So I don't know if someone else did, and then he, like, put it out.
The people at Spin TV are still probably trying to cut up the video of Rick to get out all the. Sorry. I had to.
I know.
I had to.
Like, listen, I feel like, you know, maybe try something different with Rick. Like, maybe have a commentator over top. Like, it sounds crazy right now, but I don't think it's insane to say, to have someone, like, explaining the throws and then watching him throw it.
Or maybe it's just like a hidden camera and just see the Raptor in his native environment and like just let him loose.
I mean, I think you can do it. I think it's just I just, Rick has never been the, like, showiest player even either.
Yeah.
Like, his form just seems kind of funky, and he still, like, crushes forehand and backhand. And it's always, like, his backhand always has that weird, like, high release point. And you're like, no, okay, no, that he crushed it. I had no clue. Like, it did not look like he really got in.
And the huck face.
And the huck face, his forehand's always been super smooth. Like, I feel like instead of I think the in the bag with Rick, like, needs to be, and Dynamic has done this in the past, and they probably still do it, but I stopped following them on YouTube. Like, following someone for a full round.
Yeah.
And just talking about the disc they're throwing, like, throughout the round. Like, I think that's the best way to do it with Rick. Yeah. And just talk about, like, you know, in this situation, I'm doing this, like, the situational disc golf, which I think, Ricky does incredibly well, because he does sometimes have, like, rough off the tee or whatever, but he is, like, scramble master and putt master.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think a full round just following around and chatting with him, like, with some good, like, mic'd up stuff.
Yeah, and get him comfortable.
Would do
and
really well.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think it'd be good.
Because he's a likable dude for sure.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, like, when he was at his height, there was some hype, even, like, almost trying to, you know, go WWE wrestling style and, like, paint Paul as, like, the villain, like, as the heel. And that kind of made him even more likable and whatever. And as, like, as everyone fought through it, I think that heelness of Paul kind of went away.
Yeah. It's still there. There's
it's still, oh, there's still hate for it. But there's. That's the thing, too. Like, wherever you go, there's hate for random people all over the place.
True.
I mean, except for
Nate Sexton,
the Nates, and
Michael Johansson,
and Simon and MJ. yeah, the Nates, Simon, and MJ. Like, you just can't help but love them. And Conrad.
Yeah,
like Conrad should be putting out content.
That's true.
Like, Conrad could make a jump right now if he wanted to. Like, if
I mean, everybody really likes Nico too. I mean, they could. He doesn't. He's not polarizing.
Well, and like Drew Gibson too. Like, same thing. Like, totally. Everyone loves those people. But like right now, honestly, I didn't even think about it right now. I'm gonna just like try and get a hold of Conrad and be like, let me help you social media. Like, I can't do anything for
it. What if there was a new channel called Neeks and Gibbs and it was just Nico and
I would love that. What if they just got into hijinks? What if they're just like, we are gonna go to this quick stop.
They went to Taco Bell and they mixed sodas and no.
They're gonna go quick stop and be like, let's see how many Reese's Pieces we can shoplift. Oh, you guys. And they each like walk out with two, and then like a little subtitle comes in the bottom. We went back and paid.
We paid for all of this.
We felt bad.
And bought a bag of
but
jerky.
Honestly, like, social media, people could take huge, like, KJ USA is kind of working on it. He's getting his together. Like, he had that big like following at the end of the year,
mm-hmm.
and he's been able to like work with it.
Yeah,
Conrad had a more successful year than Kevin Jones.
Mm-hmm.
He had a pretty darn good year, and he's someone that if he like, I don't know what his presence is though. I don't know if he could get on a mic and do whatever. But if he even had like the smallest ability, like, he could make
like
a huge jump.
He was on, he did commentary on Jomez.
Did he?
Yeah, I think, it was either last year or the year before. He's a pretty quiet guy, pretty reserved guy, as I recall.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, though. Ooh.
Oh, see, better than Nico and Gibson, and they're, well, I guess it would be the same thing, because they're a different brand. Like, a Conrad Johansson hour
mm-hmm.
would be the greatest thing ever. Long hair, don't care. The long hair, don't care hour.
Just like in an ice fishing shed.
Oh, dude. Just with like a basket in the corner, and they would just like throw putts. Like, if they had an argument, they would just like have a quick little putt off.
This is too many pro channels, the pro tandem channels that we.
I would, if they were killing it. I'd be down.
Plus, we're crossing brand sponsorship here.
Well, yeah, I know. We started that with Nico and Drew.
Yeah. Nico sponsored by, like, I'm guessing, like, a vape company, and Drew was Innova, so.
Oh, I heard some news about, talking about, like, not vape companies, but I guess I shouldn't say it here. I shouldn't say it here, but I've heard some news about SFO.
Ooh.
But not here.
Got it.
Not until it's,
got
it's
it.
Legit. I'll tell you off air. All right, let's move to the
Like, so we got this great question that was said,
amazing question
by Gareth James out of Australia, and I'll just put it out there because he sent it to me on Instagram, and I instantly was like, oh, well, that's a simple question, and then I started to think about it for a sec, and I realized there's some pretty tough decisions that have to be made. So here's the question: if you could only bag one disc golf brand for each type of disc in your bag, putters, mids, fairways, and drivers, and you can't use the same brand twice, what would your bag be? So that means for each category, a putter.
So, and we talked about this before. We cut our conversation off pretty quickly because we didn't want to like start really strategizing. But go ahead. Sorry.
So for each section of your bag, the putters, the mids, the fairways, and drivers, you have to choose a single brand for each of those sections, and you can't repeat. And Joe and I talked about it already. We're not going to be like, you can choose Trilogy for one of them. You have to choose either Westside or Lat64 or Dynamic Discs, or in the, you can't do Discmania and Innova for one section. You can have Discmania and Innova as separate choices.
Right.
But you can't mix them up like that for one single section.
This is so tough.
So, a lot of different things. So, Joe and I both throw mixed bags. And
very mixed bags.
Each section, like, currently, you know, I throw AVRs and Novas, and then I've got a Zone in my bag. So, there's two brands on putters right there. And then my mids are all Discraft. I'm Comets, Buzzes, and a Buzz OS. So that's fine there. And then I get to Dismania on fairways. I throw FDs, and then I also have, you know, depending on where. Also, another thing we have to line out is, where's the cutoff on fairways? Are we talking 9 speed? Are we talking 7?
9.
9. So like Thunderbird counts as.
I'd probably say 10 actually.
For well, me, 10 has to be distance driver. Double digits is for sure distance driver.
Okay, I guess I don't really throw any 10 speeds.
So all right, we'll
I guess I do. Okay, but that's fine. Yeah.
So we'll let that go. So like, you know, Thunder.
But 9 lives in my world. 9 is definitely in the fairway.
Yeah, and then I throw FDs and Thunderbirds, and then I'm all over the place when it comes to the top end of my bag. I throw Firebirds too, but top end. I've got Innova. I've got MVP. I've got Axiom. I've got Dynamic Discs. A lot of different things that I'm testing out in that range. And some of them are, you know, mainstays, and other ones are, I'm, you know, just kind of trying to figure out how I want to take certain shots. So I got a lot going on in each of those ranges. And I feel like I know what I want to do in some of these.
I know one. I know one that makes sense to me. I have to figure out the rest.
But that's pretty hard, because there are discs that I really love, like the Zone, for instance. Like for me, the biggest issue is I really love the Zone, but I don't think that I would be able to switch from my Discraft mid game, which is all the mids I've ever thrown have been Discraft mids, Comets and Buzzes and the Buzz OS. But at the same time, I'd really like to have a Zone in my bag, but a Zone's a putter, technically, right? Zone's a putter. I can't.
Yes, technically, Zone's a putter. Yes.
You sure? I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. And actually, like, we've been talking, and I've been, like, really actually focusing in on that.
Yeah. I think you. I'm not surprised by that.
I think that's actually a tough one for me. There's something I was like, there's no way. And now I've, like, been thinking about it. I'm like, yep.
Yeah.
It's, I think I know. I think I have two figured out now.
I think your option is better than mine just because of that. I know, and it's tough. I have one for sure that I know that I figured out, which is that the fairway section would be Dismania. I would throw FDs, FD3s, and CD2s. So.
All right. Well, and I'm going, and that's the one section I figured out to my fairways would be Innova.
Yeah.
And I would throw Thunderbirds, Firebirds, T-Birds, and Eagles.
Yeah. It's a pretty similar lineup of discs.
Yeah. But
and, like, I could throw an FD2 in there, too, and that would be, like, the Eagle. You know?
Totally. And I'm, like, I got the Eagle, and I've got, like, a nice array of Eagles. I've got a nice array of Thunderbirds. The sexy birds are just magic.
Yeah.
And then, actually, I do have a handful of T-Birds that I think I can make work, and I think I could feel good with it. And you know what? I probably would throw in, too. If I had to go that way, I'd probably throw a Leopard 3.
Yeah, probably.
To try and get that FD
a
little bit.
Or a T-Bird 3.
Well, T-Bird 3 for that higher end also.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about like that really that FD nice little turny, glidey jam. I'd probably throw a Leopard 3.
Or beat T-Birds.
But I just love the Firebird and Thunderbird so much that I just... those are like... two of the biggest, those are two pieces that have probably been in my bag
for a while. Yeah,
maybe the longest.
Yeah. Now that hasn't the judge been your deal for a long time?
I was wizard before that.
Oh, that's true. Never mind.
So that brings me to putters. I'll go to putters next.
Okay.
Not going gateway. Sorry, Joey. Not going dynamic.
Uh huh. You're going discraft.
Of course.
Yeah. So you're gonna be a Luna guy.
No.
You're going to Luna it up?
I don't think so. I think, actually, it would throw off my whole putter reality, because for me, I was like, fresh putters forever. But I think I actually would take beat up zones.
And just putt with zones?
Jawbreaker zones.
All right.
I think beat in Jawbreaker zones.
But you love that glide of the judge. Why wouldn't you like grab a challenger?
Dude,
or
Jawbreaker
like zones.
Well, I might. I just haven't thrown them enough. But Jawbreaker zones, like.
So your answer is you need the zone and you'd figure out a putter.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I mean, we talk about it all the time, like putting within 15 feet is putting. And I throw judges off the tee. I throw zones off the tee, and I know a jawbreaker, a beat up jawbreaker zone. It's a little like has a little more juice or a little more fade than my lucid judge,
mm-hmm.
but I know I could just keep beating in jawbreakers and be able to just crank jawbreakers off the tee like I would a lucid judge. Like I could fully, I almost could just throw zones.
Yeah,
just all my putters are like all different plastics of zones.
But even like last episode, you were saying you were having like a little zone issue. You weren't in the zone with the, like you were on the fence.
It's true. It's
and
true.
Now here you're gonna give up the judge for a disc that you admittedly were struggling with and throwing. You know,
well that's because there was that because of what I wanted the zone. Like I was getting judge like flights though out of the zone. But not what I wanted the zone for.
Okay.
So like my beat it, my like old DGP jawbreaker zone was just flying like true and straight.
Yeah.
I could go straight. I think I mean you've been there. I can get a zone out there.
Yeah, you'd be fine.
I think zones. Yeah, and I might look. I mean, if I'm being honest, which I will be.
Well, there's the Roach.
I would look at the Roach. I would look at the Luna.
Check out. So right on top there in pink, there's a ringer right there. Feel how flat that thing is.
Yeah.
It's got a little.
Reminds me of like a PA-3 from. Yeah. But yeah, so there's putters. I attempted to putt magnets for a minute. Like I could figure out the mm-hmm. putting putters. I think just zones.
I think you could make the magnet work. That's pretty close. That's
it
a,
is.
That's a
it
beaded
is. It's
putter.
It's super close. So I think I think magnets, zones. I think I just could do so much with, and if I had to really like, yeah, I feel good with the zone. I mean zone. Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, the only thing I got locked in at the moment. So you've locked in your fairways. You're going Innova fairways. And then you're
going
discraft putters. I'm going Discmania fairways because I don't think I can live without the FD. And I know that I can the CD2. I've got several of those. Some that are understable, some that are pretty overstable. And the FD3 is about as close to a Firebird as any other manufacturer has ever made. So I'm pretty confident in those.
Well, and there's the beautiful world with the FD3, and now I'm like rethinking my whole thing. The beautiful thing with the FD3 is the Doombirds, like mm-hmm. especially the Doombird 1,
yeah,
is very like Thunderbirdy/Sexy Birdy. Like it's this like weird little world where it's not crazy over. It has glide. It goes through. Like I really like that disc. That could eat up a lot of that space in the Thunderbird Firebird world.
Yeah. And then,
you can get like a C-line FD3 and just have super beefcake Firebird world too.
Yeah. So, which I probably need in my life anyway, just so I don't throw 2016 Sexy Birds over fences, you know, when I don't need to.
Yeah. But I don't think you ever need to.
No, definitely not. And I think I'll lock in the next one. I don't think I can. There's a world where I can operate without the Buzz and the Comet. So I think I have to go.
Well, and I think that easily actually informs your putters too.
Yes.
But go ahead.
Yeah. So I'll go Buzz, Comet and Buzz OS, as my mid ranges. And I'm sure I could mix in some of the other ones at a Wasp if I wanted to too, but those three have done a lot of work for me for a long time. And I would just continue to use those. So
no, it makes sense. I mean, yeah. I mean, your mids are, yeah.
I bet you can see exactly where I'm going with.
Oh, I know
with,
that.
With all this, because I
go ahead, move to putter.
I'm going to sacrifice one section of my bag, and it's the section that I rely on the least. But I'm going to go Innova for my putters. And I'll just continue to rock AVRs, and I'll continue to use my Nova, and I'll figure out something with the AVR X3.
I was about to say, let me grab this AVR3 too.
You know,
that feels pretty darn zony.
Something along those lines, and I think I'll be okay in that range, or you know, what they've or the Rat. You know, if I wanted to go check that thing out again for my zone replacement, as much as I love the zone. And it does a lot of work for me. I I think I save more strokes with Novas and buzzes and things like that. So I would go that way. You want to do one now before I close out?
Yeah. So let's see. I've done Discraft and Innova so far. Mids, I'm torn. So mids is I'm having trouble. So I'm like going to talk through it. I love my Pine, which is West Side. I love my Claymore, which is Lat.
You've already knocked rocks and buzzes off the table,
which is fine. Like I throw a buzz, but it's not. It is definitely not a must. It's actually something I just put back in. I was throwing it old school. I throw that turbulence, but you know, there's no other streamline mid, so that takes that out.
The runway for those who
right
haven't listened.
But the zone will take that place anyway, so I don't really need that. So basically it's like, do I lean to Pine or Clay? I mean, Pine is more of a main mid than a
and
Claymore.
Pine and
is.
Claymore are both West Side, right?
No, I honestly had to look it up because I thought, Claymore's
the Claymore's Lat 64. You're right.
If
God, the Claymore seems like it should
be
a West Side.
Like the name and everything. Totally. And got I was like it. Hoping, and it's not, if that was it, then it would be in.
What are the other
West
Side mids? There's like the Tursus, right?
The Tursus and I think there are discs there. Warship maybe is in that world.
Yeah.
Here,
nothing. There was nothing in the rules about not being able to bring up the.
Oh yeah, do that.
The lineups on these things. So if we hit mid range, so you got the Anvil, the Bard, the Pine, Sling, Tursus, and Warship.
I've heard Tursus is similar to Claymore, like
yeah.
A turnover.
Yeah, I've heard a couple of people talk about that in the comment, too.
Pine is nice and beefy. Warship, I've heard good things. Anvil actually is something that I think we need to check out. I think we might really
like
the Anvil. And the Anvil might be that that Turbulence world, too.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, as much as I love the Claymore, like I throw the Pine much more often than I do a Claymore, unless I need big turnover shots. But I think with whatever else is in there, I probably could make it work. So based on the Pine, and I think I've like locked myself in as the Pine kind of being my main distance mid-range, I will go West Side. For my mids.
And just figure that you can between the Anvil and the Tursus and some of those other ones, you'll
figure out all those other pieces.
Yeah.
Well, and the zone just eats up a lot of that stuff too.
Yep. Yeah.
The
like
zone
you don't...
does and the Firebird does, like there's you know you can clean up pieces.
Yeah. Do you really need a zone and an Anvil? Probably not. You know you probably.
Oh, don't say that. Can I take back?
I mean, sure.
I guess I could.
We're not locked in at this point.
I guess we're not locked in.
I mean, if you wanted to do so you're saying you would switch out like Innova or something like that and
no, I think I'm going to still stick with
the disc so
I'm
if you did dynamic discs as your putters and then you did your mid-ranges as West Side.
I'm not going to do it because I'm going to move to my next part before you finish.
Okay.
So I'm going to stay with West Side, Mid, Innova, Fairway, Discraft, Putters, because I do think, honestly, I could do the most damage or feel the most confident with Dynamic as my distance drivers.
Yeah.
As much as I like I honestly, and Rob and I had this conversation before we started the podcast, I am honestly really digging Gyro. Teleport and Mayhem have become very like huge pieces in my distance driver game, but Teleport and Mayhem are two different brands. So if we stick with the West Side, Dynamic, Latitude are three different brands, then Axiom and MVP need to be two
exactly.
different brands.
Which sucks.
Which sucks, and I dig the Mayhem, but I know like Trespass, Defender, Captain.
Mm-hmm.
I can do just fine with DD distance drivers.
I don't think there's any other place for me to go either. And I thought about it because I was like, well, could I do it with MVP? And I'm like, well, I don't like, I can't build my distance game around the teleport. I haven't thrown any of the other ones. I don't have a great amount of confidence in the overstable ranges. And if it was MVP Axiom together, I think I would just be like, well, screw it. I'll just give it a whirl.
I'm almost to that point too, but just, you know, like I said, trespass, captain, sheriff, defender, no worries. I could totally feel confident. Yeah.
And you can get a bunch of different trespasses and kind of build stability.
And sheriffs and defenders and I throw ballistas and I know I could get like a destiny or a queen. Queen's not that, but both destiny and queen are not.
No.
Freedom. Sorry, that's the one.
Yeah.
I know there's super understable high speed drivers that I could do just fine with. I think dynamic could be the easiest for me to. Oh, and criminal's a distance driver? Sweet.
Yep. 10 speed.
Sweet. Yeah, 100%. If only escape was a 10 speed, then it'd be like a perfect world.
Yeah, but you've
got... Oh, an enforcer? I could get down an enforcer. Yeah, easily distance drivers, dynamic distance. That might be the easiest one out of them that I could jump on.
This was where I was going as well, and I think I would I'll just play devil's advocate because in my mind I really agree with you, and I think that I would do the same thing between trespasses and defenders. And then if I haven't really toyed too much with the sheriff and the captain, but I'm sure I could mess around with those too.
The captain.
Understable.
You'd like them all.
So I think that that's probably the right choice given the other sacrifices that I made in my bag is going with the company that has probably the most complete line of distance drivers that's left on there, and given that they've got some really nice overstable ones, some understable stuff, some glidey things. Some of the other ones, like with MVP, it's all kind of a touch understable. And there's a few of them that are on the more overstable side, but I do like the teleport. I just don't know that I can do it. And West Side, you know, I could do like the world, and we haven't gotten to it tonight, but like the Northman, that sort of thing. I could do that pair.
The Gladiator? Or is that?
So like, I thought about that too. So like the world, you know, I've thrown, I know that I can do work with the world, and then like the giant and the Northman, you know, discs like that. I could see those working out as well. In my gut, I think I would be better off working with the dynamic discs end of that.
Yeah.
With the defender and trespass and, you know, captain or sheriff, whichever one I like.
You know, the great thing, like looking through all these two is like, it just reiterates something that we brought up forever. And we honestly should do some shows here and there when we need to fill of building our bag on a brand.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like just looking at that, I'm like, oh, I could throw that.
That would be kind of a fun series going through, like, hey, this episode we're gonna build a West Side bag.
Yep. But totally. Totally. And
this is a fun exercise.
Super doable. Just looking at that, I could definitely build a West Side bag.
We didn't touch Prodigy at all. No Latitude 64 made it into our list. No Gateway. And no MVP or Axiom. I wish that the MVP Axiom, I would have considered it just because how much I love the Mayhem and just been like, well, you know, I'm going to use
and teleport.
I'm going to use the top end of Discmania stuff for my more overstable discs. And, you know, I could like a PD or whatever. I guess a PD is a 10 speed, so that wouldn't work. But I don't know. I would have considered it. But I think Dynamic's the best choice. So I'd be Innova at putters, Discraft at mid ranges, Discmania at fairways, and then Dynamic Discs at drivers.
And I would be Discraft at putters, Innova at fairways, West Side at mids, and Dynamic at distance drivers.
Yeah. Cool. You ready to do a deer review?
I am. Like that, like my mind's blown.
I'm still not.
Like, I almost think we should come back next week and
do it again.
Do it again.
See what our answers are.
Do it again with those four that we've each chosen taken away.
Oh no, that would be harder.
Of course it would, but
yeah,
could we do it?
That would have that'd be more interesting taking away because I pretty much kept my bag intact. On the lower end. It was just that I sacrificed the top end where I'm kind of mixed up at the moment.
Yeah.
But like basically aside from one or two discs that I throw.
Totally, and I gave up like Judge maybe my favorite disc, but for the drivers and the zone, I like moved away from it.
Yeah.
Which like hurts my heart, but I'm also like is a necessary evil. Like just the trespass.
I don't know.
Defender,
I kind of
all that stuff. I don't know.
I kind of feel like you should have done you would have been all trilogy.
Dynamic putters.
Dynamic putters and West Side Drivers, because you can throw the world. And,
yeah,
you know,
crush
like
worlds.
You crush worlds all the time. Like and
Giants, I can do great things.
So
like
that was
Giants
my thought, but then you'd basically be trilogy plus, you know, whatever you decided in the middle.
And Innova was that was the first one that I like. When we talked about it, I was like, I got one. I know.
Yeah.
I know Innova's my fairways.
But you lose the zone in that process. But I don't know. To me, I was thinking you might do trilogy plus Innova, just because I figured you could look at that West Side distance driver lineup and they've got some beef up there. And then also, you know, some of the understable stuff.
Well, I probably could have lived with like pull up just cause we're doing this. Pull up lat. I feel like lat distance drivers, I might.
Well, like the Flow and Ballista Pro
Ballista Pro Halo or not Halo. The Havoc. The X Havoc.
Yeah. Opto X Havoc. Yeah. You could make that work too.
Yeah, I could probably do okay with a.
That's not a bad choice either.
With a lat distance driver.
Maybe just for.
And the Gladiator. I like the Gladiator a lot.
Maybe just so I can be different than you on the top end. I'll say that I'd go lat 64, because I like the Flow. That's a good disc. Ballistas are nice and understable. I can make that work. I don't know. I'd probably still go DD. Havocs. I've thrown a bunch of Havocs. Nice understable.
Well, I like that. I really dig the music Opto X.
Yeah.
Havoc, like I like that.
The Michelin, you one of your favorite discs of all time?
You know what though? I haven't thrown the Michelin. I don't know that I could break 350 the last time that I threw the Michelin.
I feel like we need to play that Stiletto song.
And
on
I've
the
seen
podcast
and I know
point.
Dude, a local dude plays and crushes the night.
Yeah.
And he throws the night like I would like a Rampage.
Okay.
Man,
so many options. We should do maybe not every, you know, like weeks in a row, but
oh,
when,
look at that kid right
when
there.
When we're
too,
looking
the recoil,
to fill,
shoot.
We should build the brand specific bags for some of these.
We totally should.
So, that'd be fun. All right.
Well, because we're at 136. We have thrown enough discs and we've thrown a good amount of discs beyond what we've reviewed too to like understand, you know, what those bags look like.
Yeah. Are you ready to move on and do our deer review?
Damn.
All right. It's time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the West Side Discs Northman, which we just talked a little bit about, but it is a 10 speed, 5 glide, minus 1 turn and a 2 fade distance driver, and we are pairing that with Warhammer Imperial IPA by Four Hands Brewing Company, which is a 9% Imperial IPA. And where you want to start, Joe? Beer or disc?
Let's start disc.
Okay.
So the 10-5 minus 1-2. I'll just jump out. Never mind. I won't jump out there. So we have it in tournament plastic, which is great. I love TP.
Yeah.
Tournament plastic is fantastic. We talked about it just a second ago. The world that I throw, most of the worlds I've thrown have been in tournament plastic. I really dig it. We got a cool finish stamp. Feels good. Way more understandable than you would think.
Yeah.
That. I just want to joke. I was trying to like slowly creep in. I said, nope, just going for it. this disc for 10 speed. And as we just went through, you know, categorizations of discs, that is a distance driver. This is a turnover disc.
Yeah.
If Robin or I just put a moderate to high amount of power on it, it's going to turn and not come back.
Yeah, I my first throw that I threw pretty nicely flat, and it barely came back. I mean, it turned and it did fade at the end, but it definitely finished overall right of the aim.
And very good chance you had a tailwind.
And there was a tailwind actually. So I think the only number that we would take issue with is that minus one turn. I think the five glide is legit.
It got distance for sure.
Yeah.
But
it's probably like a minus 2.5.
The turn,
like a minus 2.
And then and really we can't rate the fade because
it didn't really fade much. Yeah. I mean, it on the flat throws where I had a tailwind, it faded. But
yes, I mean for me though,
and like and when I put a lot more hyzer on it, I got, you know, good flip, but it still would turn. This is an understable. I would use this for tailwind shots. I would use it for uphill shots. It'd be a perfect disc for that. It really reminds me of the Beast, to be honest.
Yeah, very Beast. It reminds me too of the Escape.
Yeah. And not a new Beast at that.
The Beast that Robin throws.
A beat-in Beast.
Like the worked-on champ Beast that do the magic. But yeah, for me it was, you know, a nice hyzer flip, turnover, or turn to turnover. I think given enough. Well, I'll be totally honest and transparent. I liked how it felt, like how it looked, so I cranked it hard every time. And it turned over.
Yep.
Which I guess should be understood. I think coming from a world of growing up with Innova, there's not a 10 speed on their market that if you have it fresh is going to turn over.
Is the Mamba a 10 speed? It's like a 9
Mamba
speed?
It's probably a 10. It doesn't count. That's not a real disc. nobody but everyone throws a Mamba.
But yeah, I mean... I threw it flat. It turned on my first shot, and then from there on, it was hyzers, and then, you know, trying some full on Anheuser's. But overall, great understable disc. It, definitely something that if you're a beginner and you're looking to step up, you could rock it. You know, as a transition to distance drivers, if you're looking for a turnover disc in that speed range for tailwinds or uphill shots, it's great. Feels great.
It feels great and great. And, you know, staying with the West Side theme, if you are if you love your Sear, right, which for us is somewhat equivalent to an FD, and you're just turning and burning it, or it's turning a lot for you, and you're ready to move up. Granted, it's a 3-speed move up, but the flight is very similar.
Lots of glide.
You know, it might be your nice laser beam, or maybe your more stable version of a Sear.
Yeah.
It's a cool disc. I think this is where you go before you go to, like, say, a Sword. It's a nice move. It's a nice disc. Finish stamp. Gotta love it. It was just more understable than I expected.
This could be like the disc where, you know, everyone has their disc that they first learned how to hyzer flip, and this could be that disc for
yours is
a
Beast for sure. Yeah. Right? I remember this is probably like the fifth time I've told this story on the podcast. Your brother, myself, and you were playing. You're like, look what I learned to do. And we were just amazed that a hyzer flip.
Dude, the hyzer flip is one of those moments when you're learning to play disc golf, when you see a disc start to do something else besides go left, you know, and start to see that flight characteristic. And I remember I was with you guys and like my brother was there and you were there and you saw, I was like, look what I could do. And then I did it. And you're like, both of you guys were just amazed, and it was like, well, this is a game changer.
totally.
It was probably a terrible shot, but like the
no,
flight.
I think it was red. I think it was like a crush. I mean, which, you know, that makes sense. And now we live in the world where it's like, yeah, just don't keep turning.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Damn it.
I really wanted that flip. Like, yeah.
But yeah, Heiser flips.
I live for the flip to flat.
And for
and that's all I want. I just want the flip to flat. And
sure.
Flip to flat, go straight. I love it. Flip to flat and start turning. Like, that's the please come back. But there's times that you flip to flat and you say, like, don't hook up. Like, I want this. Like, just hold it. Please hold it. I need you to go right. And the Northman is a perfect disc for that, where you flip it up and you're like,
yeah,
I don't want you to come. Like, I need you to go right. Please, like, headwind or something. And this is something that I think you can trust to hold that turnover line.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. All right. Beer time. So, Warhammer Imperial IPA by Four Hands Brewing Company.
Rad sticker. I'm going to drink this while Robin tells you something.
9% alcohol. This one's pretty bitter and piney. I'd say there's a little bit of malt towards the back end, but it's really pretty much dominated by the pine flavor.
There's some tropical fruit. Give it a smell.
And we should mention that the primary hop in this beer is Columbus Tomahawk Zeus.
I love that it said that, because I just called that. It total smell it. It's pineapple nose, like, for sure.
Yep.
Yes. It is a little fruity, but yeah, it definitely has a lot of IBUs. It has a big bitter kick at the end.
Oh yeah, it says 83 IBUs. So
it's kind of piney. It's like it's a fruity piney. It's not like over the top, like in your face piney, but it's definitely, it doesn't have a lot of malt. It's hoppy, yeah. Fruity, that big pineapple on the nose with a nice big bitter kick in the dick at the end.
Yeah, and very dry too.
Yeah,
you definitely feel a little cotton mouth after it. And that's, you know,
that's the Zeus probably. Or the Columbus, I'm not sure.
Yeah, which one's more likely to leave you cotton mouth, Columbus or
probably
Zeus?
Probably Columbus.
Probably, yeah.
Columbus probably leaves the tomahawk. Anyways.
Not a big Columbus Day guy, huh? All right. Well,
I mean, I work in a profession where that just means a full day of work rather than a day off.
Federal holiday?
Yeah, federal holiday, that's kind of so like my work is open for 12
this
hours.
This has to be the best hop name ever. I mean, how freaking baked was the guy that discovered that hop?
Is it the best or is it the worst? Like, it can go can go both ways, though.
Like, if I have another kid, Columbus Tomahawk Zeus, mark it now. Just put it down. It's going to be great.
Like, I'm going to name a hop like Bald Eagle, Ninja Star, Buddha.
Man, you didn't even get nunchucks in there, and you're a big Ninja Turtles guy.
Well, I got Ninja Star, though.
Yeah.
Ninja Star, like, that's too much.
Ninja Stars are super overrated.
Bro.
Have you ever even tried to throw a Ninja Star?
Hell
they
yeah,
suck.
I've thrown a hell of Ninja Stars.
No, you haven't.
You just
suck
at Ninja Stars.
I do.
You probably threw...
Because they're super hard.
Did you throw them since you've been playing disc golf? Because I feel like your Ninja Star game is, like, way over the top
now. That's probably true.
This is just before you knew, like, that wrist action and, like, the full, like...
No, I mean...
Putting your body into
it. Last time I threw a Ninja Star, I probably bought them at, like, Chinatown in San Francisco and, like... In like 1998,
and smoked like hella blunts and like,
well, probably not in 98. Well, maybe.
And like jerked off first and just bah!
Whoa,
where,
easy, easy, and then yeah, they are no good, no good.
Maybe they're fine now. Well, plus Ninja Star should be like Japanese, not Chinese, so that's where you went wrong.
Are you sure about that?
Ninjas are Japanese.
But like Ninja Stars, are you sure there aren't any Chinese throwing stars?
We're talking Ninja Stars. Ninja's
I'm
Japanese.
Honestly asking. I have
Ninja's Japanese. I'm staying true with
I'm
this.
Just seeing if I can get you to dig a deep hole.
Please do not correct me. Just let me have this because I'm pretty well right.
There's going to be a whole coalition of Chinese ninjas that are going to just
fuck.
come after you now.
God damn it. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Because you don't actually know whether they're...
I don't know anything. I take it all back. I know nothing. I apologize.
All right. So back to the Warhammer Imperial IPA by Four Hands Brewing Company out of St. Louis.
It's good.
Yeah. This is pretty good. A little bit more... I'm not a huge fan of the kind of bitter dry finish on a lot of these, but it's pretty common on Imperial IPA. I would... prefer it to the heavy, like, sweet malty finish that you get on some of them.
On the
triple IPAs and stuff like that, where right. You can sometimes get just really strong boozy, malt,
yeah.
Boozy flavor. So it's nice that you at least don't have that kind of heavy alcohol to
it. We got a triple on the way. I'm so excited.
And that should be good.
No, I dig it. It's in my wheelhouse. I've said it from early episodes. If you're gonna be bitter, give me a reason.
Yeah,
and that 9%, we're good.
Yep, I agree.
You know, if it like came in at a whopping like 3.5 to 5%,
that just wouldn't even be fair.
Let's say get out. No, that's the thing. People make like super bitter beer,
the
like
session IPAs and stuff,
people make bitters that are like 4.5% that are like 100 IBUs, and it's like why. Why? I don't. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that super dry mouth, and to get like kicked in the face and then like not even get to catch a buzz. I likes it, and the artwork's rad. So, yeah. Let me move forward. I would drink lots of this.
Yeah, me too.
I would have. I mean, it's not going to be easy for us to find, but. I definitely would pick these up and put them in my regular rotation.
Four Hands Brewing Company. You up? Come on.
I got four hands. You up? I got you. Northern, what say you?
I do like this disc, actually. So right now, I have a Beast in my bag, which is basically a legacy thing. I've had it forever, which it is... more understable than this by quite a bit, but
sorry, finishes.
That's okay. But
by
very
legacy,
similar.
He means it's something that like
I've had it for so long.
Exactly. Not
it's my first Heiser Flip
disc. Yeah.
Like I don't know that I could. It'd be like
it wouldn't be all right.
Be like losing your favorite teddy bear. You know, I don't. But I don't. I throw it in very specific situations when I need the most understable disc that I know of. And the other thing I recently, in this last year, put in my bag is the Viking Ragnarok, which is what I would consider a better version of this disc.
Yep, a faster.
Slightly faster, just as understable, more glide. So personally, I would prefer to have that than the Northman. So,
right, and so I actually go with a technically slower speed disc in the place of what the Northman is. Something that we reviewed recently that's found its way into my bag that I really enjoy, and that's the Escape.
Yeah.
I throw it on the same lines, basically, and I just, as much as I love tournament plastic.
Lucid's pretty
Lucid
nice.
Is just the bee's knees, I was lucky enough to be sent a red Lucid, and that's just, that's the jam. And I feel super confident with it. I wish it was a 10-speed so it could go into my drivers for the
brand challenge.
The challenge that we got earlier. But yeah, I definitely throw a... I could even see myself throwing like an OG Glow FD in the same world as this too. So
yeah, yeah. All right, so we're both in on the beer. I'm down on the beer. The disc, we like it, but not quite gonna make the cut.
Yeah, I think this is, and this isn't a knock. This is a I hope it moves in the right direction. This is the Ricky / Innova social media battle going on.
Yeah.
You know, like there, you know, I feel like for every step forward that they take, like Discraft just takes two ahead of them.
Yeah.
And I don't think it needs to be that way. Obviously, Innova is the biggest brand in the world. I think Discraft is making its way to
yeah
to get its way into number two, like, in a hurry.
Yeah.
But Innova is still, like, number one. Innova has so many amazing discs, so many great players. They just need to get on their brand and do some work. And I think Ricky can do it. He's got all the ability. But I think it's, you know, it's maybe having those strategic partnerships with the Conrads and the Kohling and Sexton and getting and Barsby and, like, getting after it. And, like, you know, it might take a team, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because right now I know Discraft is signing all these players, which are great players, but really, like, with Doss doing his beer thing, Paul is the face of Discraft without a doubt.
Yeah.
And it's okay for there to be a team as the face of Innova.
Yeah.
And it's a really good team that, like, I swear, if they, like, made a YouTube video of them playing, like, a fucking goofy round,
yeah,
having a great time and chatting it
get
up.
Get Kohling and Sexton and Wysocki and just...
Dude, how rad would that be? Yeah. It'd be the best.
Yeah.
Be the best with some, like, get Jamie Thomas on there commentating about what they're throwing and what they're doing. Like,
have Drew Gibson show up in the parking lot and they tell him to stay.
Here, hold my bag.
You know what I was thinking about with Ricky earlier today, and I probably should have brought this up earlier in the podcast, but part of the joy and the you know the momentum behind Rick was he was the underdog. He lost to Paul in 2014. He joined Latitude 64 and put the harp on the map and put, you know, this brand on the map. And he was the, you know, he was taking down the champ and back-to-back, you know, championships. And now he's with the Evil Empire, essentially. You know, like, he's from, like, that feeling. He's a Trilogy brand guy, and people were, you know, back behind that. And huge growth in Trilogy throwers in that process. And now he's at Innova. So I think there's part of, like, Ricky's biggest fan base is still throwing Trilogy. You know what I mean? Like, the people that were backing him the most, I don't think they're leaving Trilogy as the core of their bag. There are definitely people switching from Innova to Discraft because of Paul McBeth.
True, but I don't think that's an impossibility with Rick.
Yeah.
I think there just needs to be more push.
Yeah.
More undercover, like, put, like, getting big.
Mm-hmm.
Switch, but I just feel like...
I mean, and these things can change in a heartbeat.
God,
but
if you could get that five-some out on a course, should have given six and throw Philo in.
Yeah.
And just watch these dudes just crush Innova.
Let Barsby show Ricky how to do a sake bomb.
Fuck. How great would that... That's like old school, like, CKY. Like,
yeah.
Just like Barsby setting up, like... four sake bombs in a row and the same for Rick. And
okay,
like,
Rick,
we're doing this.
I know you had a sake bomb once, but this is how you really do it. So this is a Miller Lite. I'm going to pour this in here. This is tequila.
All right, stop. This is Innova, anyone from Innova. If you are listening right now, this will take your brand through the roof. I have the plan. Robin, you're going to agree 100%.
Okay.
If you've not seen this, you're a horrible person. I'm sure you have, but watch the first 10 minutes, probably 8 minutes, of Super Troopers. What you need to do is recreate that shot for shot
with
your Innova pros.
Yeah.
Barsby's
driving.
No. Well, Barsby's driving the Miata.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Barsby's driving the Miata. Ramathorn. Gosh, Ramathorn.
You got to let the people watch. Otherwise,
no, they know. If you don't know and you're listening to this podcast at 1:36, like, you're gone.
But the Miata is not the first. The first. Minutes of the show.
Oh,
getting pulled over. So you got three stoners in a car, and you got two cops.
All right. So we got Conrad.
You got yourself all twisted up.
No, I'm thinking about the players rather than the characters. I think Ramathorn right off the bat is Sexton.
Yeah.
Ramathorn is, yeah, for sure is Sexton. Rabbit, who would Rabbit be? Rabbit. I need your help here. I think this is gold right here. And we're spiraling out at the end, but I think we can do this.
Rabbit's Gibson. You just gotta just let it happen.
I feel like Gibson is more like the blonde dude in the back who's like,
okay. Rabbit is Ricky.
Yeah, no, Gibson, Ricky is Rabbit. Gibson is the Yeah.
Ricky's Rabbit.
Yes, 100%. Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Gibson is the driver of the car. Like, Coling. I can't pull over anymore.
Yeah. No, that's Coling. Coling's the, I can't pull over any further. We're already pulled over.
Okay. I feel like Gibson could be the Snosberries tastes like Snosberries.
I figured that was going to be Barsby.
I feel like Barsby needs to be driving the Miata.
Okay. Well, once again, the Miata is not in this scene.
It is. They rush past and they have to go catch up with
him. Oh, yeah. At the very end. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then he.
I thought we were cutting off at the.
No. And then Barsby takes the shots, does the jump kick, and you boys like Mexico.
Got it.
Yeah. No, that's Barsby. Okay, that's Barsby all day.
Got it. Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You're okay. Right.
Okay. Conrad could be Snosberries, say like Snosberries.
Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of copyright issues here. Plus, once again, we're relying on the Patriots to do a cover of a comedy movie, and that's just not going to happen. They just
it'd be so good. That would drive them through the roof. You know disc golf culture.
That was a hell of a closing tangent.
I don't think
you ever actually even gave your review. I know it was the Rick D'Inva thing, but. But then it went way deep.
It went super, like, in the most amazing way ever.
All right, hit us up and tell us who the Innova Super Troopers characters are. We'd love to hear your analysis, since it came, you know, off the cuff at the end here. But I'm sure you guys can come up with something interesting for that.
Love you guys.
But that's all we got for this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Be sure to check us out on Instagram. We're at the Disc Golf Podcast, Twitter at the Disc Pod. We have our website, throwstuffatstuff.com, where you can find some DGP discs and other episodes and our deer reviews and whatnot. And be sure to review us, throw 5 stars on us on iTunes, and leave us a review. Helps new people find the podcast, and we very much appreciate everyone that's done it so far. Lastly, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast. We have a pre-show recording we do before every single show. It's like getting an extra disc golf podcast every single week. So sign up for Patreon and get an extra podcast of us just causing trouble like we just did.
Like that tangent I just went on? Like, if you like that, probably more coherent,
yeah.
But more fun.
You know, since we do it before the show, we're more sober. So, you know, like the
what are you trying to say?
The thoughts are, you know, a little more cohesive, and but you know, it's pretty good, pretty good. But, thank you guys for listening. Get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless, but those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. And then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. what's your favorite disc? That's cool with me, it's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA, so let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly, and then I'll fucking hook it softly, and then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook